Scripture this morning will be from Acts chapter 17, verses 15 through 21. Acts 17, 15 through 21. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, the spirit was provoked within him, and he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned to the synagogues with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then a certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know that this new doctrine is of which he speaks, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things.
Morning. I want to thank Hayden for handling that scripture reading with aplomb. I didn't think about giving you all those words in the same paragraph. How did you get Areopagus and Epicureans all in the same five verses? Glad you didn't glare at me. The worst I've ever had was at a congregation where I had a scripture reading assigned that was kind of brutal and long, and somewhere in the middle of it, the scripture reader actually paused and then kept reading. So I'm always happy when you guys just get through it. It's always nice. Also want to thank all of you that were able to participate and help in some way with the burn day at camp yesterday. For those of you curious, it went really well. We got the field burned off, and it was needed to be done out at Frog Road Camp. In other unrelated news, I was asked to mention that we're going to be rebuilding the camp next week. No, actually, it went really well. We didn't set anything on fire that we didn't intend to, and I think I had just a good day, and I appreciate all the help for that. This morning, we have kind of a hybrid sermon/presentation to give you with some information we want to communicate to the congregation. But before we get to the presentation part of it, we want to begin in the 17th chapter of Acts and kind of lay the groundwork for what we're talking about today out of this particular scene in the life of the church. Acts 17 is an interesting chapter for a lot of reasons. At the beginning of the chapter, Paul has been traveling through Thessalonica, and as Paul is prone to do, he gets kind of roughed up in Thessalonica, and so he moves on to Berea. And in Berea, he has a little better time of it. In Berea, they receive the word, and they want to study the scriptures daily to see if these things are so, and that's great. But there at the end, sure enough, trouble follows him. Some of the people who didn't like him in Thessalonica decide to come and not like him in Berea. And so they follow him there, and they cause trouble for him in that place. And the scene seems to indicate that it's gotten so controversial and heated that the church there, especially the fellow workers with Paul, determined that it would be in everyone's best interest if Paul were to just go away. If maybe for his own health and safety, and maybe it would just let things settle down a little bit if Paul were to go on down the road. And so if you're reading chapter 17, you get to verse 14 and following, where Paul is sent by way of sea to Athens, and Silas and Timothy remain behind. There's still work to be done. They want to stay and do it, but Paul seems to be the source of danger and controversy, so he's sent down the road to see if he can be quiet and out of the way somewhere else. Well, Paul is really bad at quiet and out of the way. And so he goes to the city of Athens, and he has one job. He is supposed to sit there in Athens and stay out of trouble. That's his job. Go to Athens, wait, we'll see how things play out here. And the plan is that Silas and Timothy will eventually join him in Athens. Paul's not good at waiting, so he sends apparently some sort of message back to Timothy and Silas and says, "You wouldn't believe it. There's great opportunities here. You need to hurry up and get here." And he dives into the work. He's not even willing to wait. Verse 15 and following says, Now, I'm sorry, 16 and following. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. He's got one job. Paul, just sit there and be quiet. Stay out of trouble. We'll catch up with you later. And Paul finds some trouble. He looks around Athens. And what would you see in Athens? Let me comment on that. Athens is a Greek city full of Greek gods. Probably we would look at it and say, this is not a fertile field for work. Paul looks at it and says, this is fantastic. It reminds me of a really cheesy story that preachers like to tell about the two salesmen, shoe salesmen who went to Africa and visited a small tribal location and noticed that none of the people in this tribe were wearing shoes. And they had to make a decision about whether or not their particular market was going to work in this location. The first salesman sends a telegraph back that says, don't try to do business here. No one wears shoes. The second salesman sends a telegraph back that says, bring the business here. No one owns shoes. Right? And it's entirely a matter of perspective. We might look at Athens and say, this city is a mess. Paul looks at it and says, this city is a mess. Right? This is great. And he begins to start preaching. And what I think we learn from this is that we need to share in Paul's motivation and enthusiasm for sharing the gospel in our communities. When we look at the opportunities that we encounter every day, whether it's our schools or our workplaces, it is the task of the church to become excited about the opportunities we have to share the gospel in those locations. We have a tendency to do the opposite, to look at those locations and see all the obstacles and see all the hurdles and find reasons not to do our job. Brethren, it is the task of the church to find reasons to say yes, not no, to find reasons to do more, not less. There are plenty of no people in the world. Christians are the yes people. We are the people looking for opportunities to do good with the gospel. And we need to have our eyes open to that all that we can. In verse 17, the text continues, so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. What does Paul do in Athens? Now, this is strange. Obviously, he goes down to the Athenian Church of Christ and starts preaching, right? No. First of all, there's no such thing. But second of all, he goes to where people are. He looks for opportunities. Where are people? Well, there are people at the synagogue. And so he goes to the synagogue, and he finds opportunities to teach there. Where are the people? Well, there are people in the marketplace. Are they there to hear preaching? No, they're there to buy groceries. Paul doesn't care. There are people there, and he sees there an opportunity to engage them and to share the gospel with them. Do you see his enthusiasm? Taking every possible scenario he sees. Somebody buying groceries, that's an opportunity. Somebody at the synagogue continuing a religion that has persecuted Paul, that's an opportunity. Everywhere he looks, in the commonplace and in the holy place, in every place, he finds opportunities to share and to preach and proclaim the gospels of Christ. The gospel of Christ is our task as well. And as a church, it is our task to reach into the community to find opportunities to promote the gospel. It is not the task of the church to unlock the doors on Sunday morning and hope for the best. It is the task of the church to look for and, if need be, create opportunities for God's glorious gospel to reach the hearts of those who might be willing to hear. And even our definition of willing to hear has to be a little bit broad, as with Paul's. But finally, in this section, in verses 18 through 21, it says, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, what does this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Here again, it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? We would be tempted to say, these are people who are not really interested. Are they there to hear the gospel? No. They're there to learn, to develop themselves. These are students and learners. If you look at them, they are not Christians, though they're deep thinkers. They're Epicureans, for example, who believed that, yeah, there might be God, but they were somewhere off in the fuzzy distance and mostly left us human people alone. And here comes Paul saying, no, no, the God of all creation cares about us enough to send Jesus Christ, his Son, and to interact with human history in a meaningful and powerful way. The Greeks had no use for the resurrection whatsoever. And Paul goes in there and says, Jesus of Nazareth, not only is there a resurrection, he's already been resurrected. And he goes in and he sees this opportunity. Do they greet it warmly? Not at first. Their first response is, what a babbler. He preaches some foreign, and what does foreign mean? Depends how you say it, right? Foreign food you might like, depending on whether you see it as good food or not. But quite often the word foreign to us means strange, alien, not something we like. And I suspect that's kind of what they meant. Here is a foreigner with some foreign deity and some strange and alien message to preach. And finally, when they allow him to come up, it's mostly just out of curiosity. But they allow it. And that's the beauty of it. Paul is not interested in their motivation, only in the opportunity. They have given him an opportunity to preach the gospel, and so he's going to. This congregation is one that looks for opportunities just like this, and we've recently been presented with one. So I'm going to pause now in the sermon part of this service, and one of our elders, Bill Papp, is going to come up and give a brief presentation to you to kind of inform you of a work that we're beginning and getting involved in based on the premises that we've discussed in Acts chapter 17, and then I'll be back at the end to kind of wrap up with some more sermon material.
I realize how unusual it is to have an interruption in Ben's sermon, but we do want to present to you a unique opportunity that's really fallen into our laps here as a congregation at Glenpool. And I stand before you in my official capacity as a Christian this morning, but it would probably help some of those maybe that are visiting today to know that I'm also the president of Oklahoma State University Institute of Technology in Okmulgee. I've been in higher education for 30 years. And I've been a college president for 13 years, and I've been waiting for this kind of an opportunity for an awfully long time. I know you're getting ahead of me. You're reading the screen up there. Let me go ahead and acknowledge some of the things on the screen, then I want to fill in the blanks for you. We do have an official status for a sanctioned student organization on campus, which would be a Church of Christ organization, with oversight being provided by the Glenpool Church of Christ, with supporting congregations in Okmulgee and Sand Springs, and Bobby Hill, who was in our announcement this morning. I know he's having some health concerns right now, but is serving as campus minister at this point in time. Let me fill in the blanks for you. A church group cannot just show up on a public college or university campus and expect to hand out flyers or expect to conduct Bible classes or to evangelize in any fashion. It just doesn't happen. But that's exactly what is happening right now in Okmulgee. That has been happening since roughly last September in Okmulgee. And I couldn't be more excited to tell you that this is going on right now. About a year ago, I received a very politely written email from one of my students. He introduced himself. I'd never met him before, but he introduced himself on his email and explained to me that he was a freshman in the automotive program on campus, and he was a member of the Church of Christ, and was just wondering if there was some way that he could organize other students in a Bible study on campus. It's very unusual that I get a email like this. Generally, the emails that come to the president's office are complaining about one thing or another, whether it's parking or I didn't get my financial aid check soon enough, or one of the latest ones I got, the cafeteria didn't prepare my cheeseburger to my satisfaction. These are real complaints. I typically delegate those to a person that's in charge of the cafeteria or the financial aid office or what have you, but this one really caught my attention. And I asked my administrative assistant, look up this young man's phone number and give him a call and let him know that Dr. Path was very impressed with his email and wants to meet with him in person. And I hope I didn't terrify him in doing that, but this young man did come in and presented himself very well in person as well and convinced me of his sincerity that he wanted to find out, is there some way that we could offer Bible classes? So I proceeded to explain to him the process whereby we could do something like this, and it must be a student-led effort. And this was what I'd been waiting for all these years, an actual student-led effort to teach a Bible class on campus. And I explained to him that in order to receive official university sanction, one must have an officially recognized club on campus. And there's going to be some hurdles in our way in order to accomplish this. I said, it must be student-led. You've got to go out and find 15 students, currently enrolled students who are willing to sign a petition that a new club or an organization be identified on this campus before we'd even pay any attention to it. You need to also find a full-time staff member to serve as your sponsor who would be willing to oversee the operations of the newly formed club. You've got to put together a set of bylaws, and the bylaws have to identify that you've met, that you've selected officers among the students, that you are going to be upholding the policies and procedures, regulations of the institution before we're going to give you official student club recognition. So he thanked me. He went on his way. I didn't know if I'd ever hear from him again, but when I did hear from this young man again, he had put together the framework of what he needed in order to put together a Church of Christ club to meet on the campus of OSU-IT. Along with the help of the Grand Avenue Church of Christ in Okmulgee, they were able to identify certain students that would be willing and having a regular weekly Bible study, and they've been doing this since September. I've met with them on a few occasions, encouraged their growth and development here just within the last month. They've completed their bylaws. They're now officially sanctioned by the university. They will soon be on the college website. This allows them to be recognized in media from the campus. It allows them to be included in the weekly student newsletter that goes out electronically to all students to promote their activities on campus, the fact that they're meeting every Tuesday night in the student union, having a Bible study, having food brought in. All that is being publicized now, and I've got to tell you, the numbers are stable, and I am going to predict that now that they have official recognition, the numbers are going to grow. Throughout the fall term, I understand they had, on average, 7 students or so. There were occasions where they had as many as 14 students, and this spring, they've been running similar numbers, but the thing is, they're not always the exact same students. When we first started out with this club, we thought these would just be Church of Christ students, but to our surprise, we have students coming to us from other denominations, from denominational world out there who are interested in the Bible. And to see these students show up with their Bibles in hand after hours in the student union really will get you quite excited about the millennial generation and their desire to learn about the church. Now, why Glenpool? Why Bobby Hill being involved? Let me explain a little bit of what has transpired. If you haven't met Bob Howard, Bob, raise your hand so people can recognize you right there. Bob Howard is a resident of Okmulgee. He has been a member for many years at the Grand Avenue Church of Christ, has served as an elder there. He and I are very good friends and becoming even closer friends as well. This has been a dream of Bob Howard's and some of the members of the Grand Avenue Church of Christ for many years. In fact, Bob told me that on a number of occasions he's approached the university to try to set up Bible studies, and the door's been closed in his face on several occasions, but this time it's student-led, so there's a difference for you. The Grand Avenue Church, the elders there started the oversight of this exciting project, but they've run into some problems. They are currently searching for a minister, so they're without a minister right now. Circumstances have caused them to have their elders step down, so they do not have an eldership at this point in time. They lack a sufficient number of men within their congregation to meet the qualifications to be an elder. So the oversight piece has evaporated from that congregation at this time, and I would encourage all of us to keep that congregation in our prayers. We want to see it strengthened and be encouraged. But I got a call from Bob before Christmas asking if there was any way that the Glenpool Church of Christ would be willing to take over the oversight and the eldership here. And I told him that I can't speak for the eldership, but I'll go back and talk to the rest of the elders, and I'll get back in touch with you. And I met with the rest of the elders here And we decided this was far too important of a project, far too important of a work for us to allow it to die. I tell you, those of you that are parents who have seen young people go off to college, I'm going to tell you a trend that I've seen after watching young people for 30 years. A lot of times college students will leave their parents' home, they'll leave their church home, they'll go off to a college, and they will drop their faithfulness. They will stop attending church services. They will lose their faith. They need opportunities that they can be engaged, preferably on campus, with like-minded students so they can continue in their faith and continue their knowledge and understanding of the gospel. This really presents that kind of an opportunity, and the eldership here feel that this opportunity needs to be seized. You realize from the budget presentation at the end of December, we had decided that we were going to put a small amount of money in the budget to support this, but since that time, we have now decided that we do want to take over the oversight of this project. The real key came in Bobby Hill, and I wish he was here for this, because you need to hear from Bobby Hill firsthand. This man is on fire for this particular work. He was tailor-made to work with young adults. In his past life, serving as a youth director, this has really prepared him for communicating with and caring for the spirituality of young adults. And the students have taken to him remarkably well. He's been teaching the class now for 3 weeks in a row. We did bring him back. We brought him in the fall once to fill in, but he's taken over the full-time instruction at this point in time. He's teaching out of the book of Acts. And part of the reason we selected Acts was it is a springboard to so many other important topics that young people need to hear about. They need to understand the organization of the church. They need to understand the issues of the church. Where did the church come from? And most importantly, last week he was in Acts 3, and he used that as a springboard to talk about other scriptures related to baptism, to explain the importance of baptism and spiritual salvation. So, because OSUIT is basically a two-year institution, most of our degrees are associate degrees, we are going to be in a constant building mode with this particular campus ministry every 2 years, trying to recruit and bring in new students into this Bible study. So we are establishing a two-year curriculum whereby we want to cover the Gospels during the time that students are there, as well as the book of Acts. And then once we finish that, we'll start over again with a new group of students. So, this is the challenge that we've decided to take on as an eldership here. We're not unfamiliar with outreach programs. Bill Hemrick's been involved with the prison ministry for a number of years. This kind of makes sense that this would be another opportunity that we would like to take advantage of. OSUIT in Okmulgee has roughly, give or take, about 3,000 students. About 830 live on campus. I would say within the community there's probably 1,000 to 1,500 students that actually live full-time in Okmulgee, either on campus or in the community. So there's a real core of young people right there that can, if they choose to do so, take advantage of this club and this student organization. Now, I'm not too far again. Now, to answer this question, I'm going to turn it back over to Ben. How can you, as individual members of the congregation, get involved? First and foremost, we need your prayers. We need the prayers of other congregations. We need the prayers of members of this congregation for the ongoing success of this project. Our ultimate goal is that souls can be won. We continue to have a relationship with Grand Avenue Church of Christ. Should we need their baptistry at a moment's notice, we have assurance that we'll be able to go in there and use the baptistry. But we want you to be praying for the success of this project. Continue to pray for Bobby Hill. He is one tough dude. I tell you what, the last couple of weeks he has not felt well at all. He showed up on crutches last Tuesday, and he said he wouldn't miss this for the world. With his meniscus being torn at this point in time, he said he can't lay down and find any comfort. He can't sit down and find any comfort. He said the only comfort he got was sitting and actually preparing for this Bible class. It took his mind off of the pain that he had in his knee. And the students just really benefited from his presence. We will be looking for volunteers. Okmulgee's a long ways away. There's a few of us that live down in that direction. There's several families that live towards the south. If you're looking for opportunities to be involved with an outreach program, this may be something that you could be involved with. We need to find volunteers to help bring in food on a weekly basis. We do have a bank account that's set up to help cover the cost of that. We may be looking for church homes to have devotionals in or activities in. And if you live in that direction, this would give you an opportunity to be a part of a very important work of the congregation. We will be looking for donations. There have been a number of very generous Christians that have already donated dollars, not just from this congregation, but elsewhere. And we will be looking for other donations as this work continues. And do help us spread the word. One of the challenges we have right now is to identify young people that are from the Church of Christ that are currently attending at the University in Okmulgee. And if you are aware of someone that is attending down there and maybe they haven't heard about the campus ministry program, we'd like to know the name of that young person. So help us spread the word on that. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Ben to finish things up. Thank you.
When we think about opportunities like this, and we are so glad that God has put them in front of us, sometimes we cannot see the end result. In fact, I dare say, maybe never can we see the end result of walking through open doors that God puts in front of us. But what we learn anything from the book of Acts, it's that when we take advantage of opportunities to spread the gospel, as God said to the prophet Isaiah, His word does not return to Him void. That when He sends His gospel out, good things happen. They are not always the things we expect, but they are always God's things. If you look at Acts chapter 17, we won't read it, but if you just think about that story of Paul going to Athens, of Paul going and getting himself into some trouble, Paul ending up on Mars Hill, and Paul preaching a sermon. What happens in Athens, the end of the story, is the sermon that's delivered in Acts chapter 17. Is one of the greatest sermons ever preached in the history of Christianity. It is a masterpiece of logic, of rhetoric, of explanation of the gospel in terms of a new worldview to Paul, the Greco-Roman world outside of his Jewish roots. It's a model for today, still. If you go take a class on how to preach, they're going to say, let's study Acts 17 and figure out how to write a sermon. And how did that happen? Where did it come from? It came from an opportunity, an open door that God made available that Paul decided to walk through. I'm quite pleased with the opportunity that Bill has been able to put in front of us. I know that many of you are as well. We hope that you'll be supportive of it. But above all, I hope we continue to be a congregation that looks for opportunities to do God's will and always chooses to walk through those open doors. Today and every day, the door of the gospel is open to you as well as an individual. If you have strayed from the cause of Christ or have never turned to it, something good always happens when you respond to God's word as it is preached. And if there's anything we can do to help you in your response, we'll stand and sing a word of invitation at this time. Won't you come?